Ramsey TV.
I've got the red dish towel back. It has returned to the scene. It's in the background there. I know that will make many of you happy. I'm looking at the big spoon that's sitting up too high. It's sitting up too high in my utensil holder up there. I just washed the dishes, so that's an anomaly. It's not supposed to be up there. Don't know what happened there. I don't see anything else unusual in the scene. If something does pop up, you will let me know about it. I am here to formally apologize to Tony Smith, who is my friend and my fellow believer, my brother in Christ, I apologize for anyone getting the idea or the thought that I was in any way impugning his character, otherwise known as calumniating. It's not that I couldn't possibly do that. It's not that I would sometimes slip into that, that I'm capable of slipping into that. We all are. But whenever I like to think, constructively criticize anyone here on this show, the only time I will ever name a name is if someone has made a public comment and put their name to it, right? I will not disclose anything anybody writes to me in an email unless I ask them ahead of time. But if somebody has a public teaching that they put out on their website, on their blog, on a video, as are my videos and my writings, it's up for grabs. As a public speaker, a public figure, a public writer, anyone is free to comment and critique my material. And so I would never, again, disclose any private information that has been given to me. Other people don't give me the same respect. And they'll pass it among each other. But that's okay, because we are here really to show grace to one another. And I hope that Tony shows grace to me. I apologize to both him and Clyde. I'm going to talk more about Tony and Clyde because they are dear brothers to me and their names have come up here on this show. I should not have used the word scoffer, even though, see, the reason I did that is because it appeared to me that Mr. Smith, in one of his comments, Tony, one of my, Mr. Smith, what is this? Tony seemed to be scoffing at the idea that the coming of Christ could be near. I mean, he hoped it was, as we all do. He hoped it was. But he seemed to me he was, let's say, poo-pooing the possibility, like, nah, I doubt it's going to happen. That sounded kind of like scoffing. So what I should have said was, my friend Tony is scoffing at the idea. But instead, I called him a scoffer, and that was wrong. I was borrowing it from Peter. I was saying Peter said in the last days, scoffers will be coming with scoffing. And so if somebody scoffs at the idea that where's the promise of his coming, speaking of Christ, it's you easily fall into that, well, you're a scoffer. But that is a horrible-sounding thing, and It suggests the idea that such a person as either Tony or Clyde is that as a vocation. That's what they are. Oh yeah, I know Tony Smith. He's a scoffer, but he's not a scoffer. Clyde Pilkington is not a scoffer. These people are the kindest people I know. They have been so kind to me and generous to me, and I have enjoyed fellowship with both of these men. And so I apologize. And I certainly didn't intend to disparage anyone's character, especially not character. I looked up the word calumny just to see, am I doing this? Because honestly, if I'm doing something that's wrong, I want to know about it. I'm going to get into more on this. I'm under more scrutiny than most people because I'm a public teacher. And I am expected, and rightly so, I am held to a higher standard because I am expected to be a good example of the evangel. The evangel, the word of grace, should not come under any kind of cloud because of me. And so if it does, if I step over line, I want to know about it. Now, I realize I do step up to lines because that's the kind of person I am. I do play the edge. And because I play the edge, I will sometimes step over it. And the great thing about that is that it gives me the opportunity to apologize. Because I love to apologize for things that I have done wrong. And you've probably often heard me make the joke. I love to apologize when I'm wrong. I just don't often get the opportunity. But whenever I do, to me, it helps to open one's heart. It helps to show one's heart. I love to be transparent in front of all of you. And this is going to be one hell of a transparent video. I love for you to see my heart. And so I will admit to you that I can be an asshole. I can say things crude and I can say things cutting because I'm a good writer. I'm a damn good writer. And so I can put words together and I can cut people down like nobody's business. I can make an art form. I make an art form out of insult because I'm such a good writer. And if that awesome tool, the pen is mightier than the sword. It's an awesome tool in my possession. It's a dangerous tool. And I've sometimes misused it. I use it, I look at scripture as an example. I look at, as you know, people like Paul, who writes of the circumcision, calls them dogs. And of course, Jesus is another one of my examples. When he calls the circumcisionists vipers, brood of vipers, whitewashed sepulchers, things like that. Say, well, that's pretty cutting. So I think there's my line. I want to be bold, and I want to be as bold as my heroes, Paul, and my Lord and Savior, who took down religious hypocrisy. But when it comes to that's the world. That's commenting on the satanic deception within the world. But right now, I'm going to contain my words to believers. And I'm not just saying this on a personal level, talking about a personal issue with me. I'm saying this to help the body of Christ. Because there is backbiting in the body of Christ, just like in the world. There are insults being flung around in the body of Christ, just like in the world. And a lot of it is based on emotion. I understand that. You react instantly. That's the thing I hate about social media. This is why I'm not on Facebook. This is why I'm not on Twitter. But I might as well be when I go to my YouTube page, I go to my videos, and I see comments. And all of a sudden, if I see somebody like making a crazy comment, a wrong comment, I might as well be on social media because I'm reacting instantly to that. And I have more than once, I have gone back and looked at something I wrote and said, damn, that's nasty. And I got rid of it. I deleted it because I hate doing it. And when somebody brings it to my attention, I'm instantly hurt that I'm not hurt that they brought it to my attention. I'm hurt that I did it. And I apologize, just like I am apologizing now publicly to Tony Smith. The man is not a scoffer. That's not what he does. That's not who he is. Tony and I, I'm going to get back to the definition of calumny here and how it applies to the body of Christ and how it should not apply to the body of Christ. Tony and I, we argue about a lot of stuff. We've argued about things personally, privately, over the years. We've argued about politics. We've argued about conspiracy theories. We've argued about the relative versus the absolute viewpoint. But I have been to Chattanooga, Tennessee, at the hospitality of Tony Smith. And he's a big man, but his heart is as big as he is. He's a beautiful guy. In fact, Dan Sheridan and I, at the Chicago conference in 2009, we had Tony, was it 2009? Yes. We had Tony give his testimony of how he was nearly killed in a hiking accident. It's an amazing story. In fact, I think I have that somewhere. I'm going to look for that and look for the link down here of Tony Smith talking about how he nearly died and what God, how God used that in his life. It evokes tears. And when I think that I've hurt Tony, it evokes tears. It really does. It's the same with Clyde. It's like Clyde was a father figure to me for 2 years when I lived in Pennsylvania. And then he was teaching things that I thought were very destructive to the evangel of Paul, and I felt like it was my duty to contradict them. And many of you said, thank you for doing that. You need me to take a hard stand. The only thing I say, you want me on the wall, you need me on the wall. I'm not going to do a Jack Nicholson imitation today. This is too serious of a matter. But I've said this over and over again, and I mean this, anytime I critique anyone, it's on their teaching. And if I ever say anything impugning anyone's character, you call me out on it. This is not about character. It's not about personalities. It's about the truth. And I borrowed Peter saying, scoffers shall come. And I borrowed that term scoffer and I applied it to people who, in my estimation, were scoffing at a certain thing. But that's too tempting for people to think that I'm defining them that way, or I'm characterizing them as that way. I'm calumniating them, which is farthest thing from my intention. So yeah, Clyde, my God, you know, and I'm always pointing out that these things are professional, not personal. And I liken it to football players on two opposing teams. They're going out smashing each other, tackling each other, growling, scratching, grunting, biting, God knows what else. And after the game, they go out for a beer. They shake hands after the game. Those that are Christians, you will see team members from the opposing teams kneeling, which is, it's a great thing. I know it's a Christian thing, but I love to see it because of the combat that just went before, the combat. This is never personal with me. I mean, it can be. I can see how it can easily become personal. And I guess I can't say it's never personal. I do take things personally, okay? I do, just like everybody else. I take things personally, and stuff hurts. But I am going to expose my belly. Now, I'm going to be like Charles rolling over on his back, showing me his belly. I'm going to show you my belly, and that is this. If you want to get back at me for something, if you want to hurt me, if you want to destroy me, the most effective thing you could do is to shun me. It's the worst thing you can do to me. I mean, I have PTSD reactions to people I think are leaving and going away for good. There's a reason why I have post-traumatic stress disorder. Some would call it abandonment issues. I have them, okay? So, it's the worst thing in the world to me is to have someone who you loved or you still love to refuse to ever see you again or talk to you again. For my part, I would never do that to anybody else. Never. No matter what. I don't care what people say about me. You can call me any name in the book. You can insult my parents. You can tell lies. And I'm going to tell you a lie that was told about me that was the worst thing ever. I'm going to share this with you only because I want to do it for the upbuilding of the body of Christ and to help us to avoid doing this to each other. And I got another example. I got to write this down because I don't want to forget it. Hang on. So, to me, it's not personal. I mean, I will fly to your house to make things right. If you have wronged me in some way and I take it personally, I might not want to go out on my way to be with you or to see you. I might not do that. But I would never declare, like in an Amish-like fashion, that I am shunning you. That's what the Amish do. Someone might say, well, the Apostle Paul recommended that in Corinth when one of the believers was sleeping with his stepmother. Paul said, don't even eat with such a one. Well, that was not over doctrine or teaching. It was over a behavioral issue that the guy was really putting the body of Christ in a compromised position. People were making fun of the message because of that guy. So Paul says, we got to stop this guy screwing his stepmother. It's just all about that. So they told the guy, you know, quit screwing your stepmother. He must have said, no, I'm not going to stop. So they shunned the guy for a purpose, with the purpose of restoring him once his behavior was brought back into line. I mean, this is egregious behavior. These are obvious sins. I hope nobody wants to shun me because I smoke a cigarette on occasion or that I drink a glass of whiskey. I hope not. I hope not, okay? So as I said, I'm held to a higher standard. And that's the way it should be. I accept that responsibility. It's just the way it is. But I'm also interested, of course, in stretching other people's faith. So that's one reason I'll have a glass of whiskey when I'm doing the show. I should have poured one for this show, but I didn't. It doesn't matter that it's in the middle of the day. Like they say, it's always 5 p.m. somewhere in the world. Who made up that rule that you can't drink until 5 p.m.? I don't know. So let's look at the word calumny. It is a noun. And it means it's the making of false and defamatory statements about someone in order to damage their reputation. A synonym here is slander. In order to damage their reputation. Now, I have said things that could be construed as defamatory. But it is, I promise you this. It is never my intention to damage someone's reputation. And I think inherent in calumny is the making of false statements, is you purposely put something out that is false in order to ruin someone's character because you have it out for them. And so you devise a plot to ruin them for your personal satisfaction. That's horrible. That is the absolutely worst thing, bearing false witness, basically. Bearing false witness. And it's never my intention to, the farthest thing I would ever do. And if I even come close to a whiff of it, I am here publicly laying my belly in front of you saying, I apologize. I apologize. The character of Tony Smith is above reproach. And so is the character of Clyde Pilkington. And I regret taking the term from 2 Peter and applying it to these friends, these fellow believers, these brothers of mine, because of the way it sounds, the way it comes across to some people. I'm sorry, I am. Now, and how many times have I said this to you? Those of you who watch me regularly have heard me say this. My role, one of my roles in the body of Christ, is to give other people the opportunity to show grace. I hope you see the self-deprecation in that statement. Grace is favor shown to one who deserves the opposite. So if I'm a complete asshole, which I can be, and you are nice to me, you show grace to me, I have actually done you a great favor, because you can't show grace to somebody who's not an asshole. It's not grace if you show grace to somebody who's nice, who's saying nice things, but if somebody says something cutting, something that hurt, that gives you, the believer, the opportunity to show grace, which will, you know, rise and meet you at the dais and will be held in your account on the positive. To your credit. It's your credit. So many people in the body of Christ will say, we thank God for Martin Zender. God will say, why is that? Because of his great teaching, because of his great books, because of all those videos he made? No, because he was such an asshole at times that he gave us many opportunities to show grace to him. Oh, I see what you mean, so enter into my rest. Yeah, I don't do it on purpose, but I have done it, and so you're welcome. So there was a guy here. Oh, I want to say this too. Yeah, I just want to reiterate this. It's the prodigal son syndrome, in that sinning, even though you don't do it purposely, it does give you the opportunity, once you've had your crap shoved in your own face, it gives you the opportunity to apologize. And sometimes there's more value to an offense and an apology Because again, you see the person's heart, you see their underbelly, than there is to not committing the offense at all. Not that I'm saying we should go commit offenses so that we can apologize. Obviously, I'm not saying that. So there was a man visiting me here recently from another state. And he was from a state that I used to frequent. And he said, boy, that's terrible about what you know. It was kind of the suggestion like, man, I heard some really bad things about you. But Martin, I want you to know that, you know, grace covers everything. And no matter what you've done in your past, you're a brother. I'm like, wait, hold on. Slow down. It sounds like you're already assuming that whatever you heard, I did. And you are going to be gracious to me. It's like, everybody makes mistakes, Martin. Okay. What mistake, friend, did you hear that I made? I don't even know if I want to, if I should repeat this, honestly. Because I hate to dig up old stuff. I was going to do it when I started this show, but it's so hideous and so false. It had to do with sex. And it was so outrageous. I mean, when this guy told me, I about spit up my over medium eggs. I couldn't believe it. What? I was just hot. I couldn't speak properly for the next minute while I'm talking to this guy. I'm like fuming. Like, you know what was worse? That lie, and I know where the lie came from. That lie was passed on to this man from a brother, from a teacher, who, when he heard this lie, having known me for so many years, should have instantly been on the phone saying, Martin, I heard this crazy thing about you that I can't imagine it's true, but I need to ask you, I hope you don't mind. Did you really, what? No. Of course not. Come on. What are you, crazy? Okay, thank you, Martin. But no. It was passed on as fact. These things happen not only to me, but to others in the body of Christ. I mean, that is calumny. When someone purposely sits down to draft lies and to make them as outrageous and as heinous as they can and then pass them on as truth in order to destroy you. That is calumny. That is slander. And that is actually a crime. You can prosecute people. You can hire lawyers and go after people for that kind of stuff. Oh, yes, you can. Me? No. I'm in the body of Christ. I'm to exercise grace. When these things are done against me, I'm going to follow my own advice, and I'm going to use that as an opportunity to show grace. And I do. Does it mean that I go out of my way to be with these calumniators? No, I don't. Would I refuse to talk to them if I saw them in the street? Nope, I sure would not refuse to talk to them. In fact, I would love to talk to them. I'd love to go to lunch with them. I'd love to hug them and kiss them and cry with them and just get it all out. And I'm lovey-dovey, man. I am lovey-dovey, okay? I come across like, boom, 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 boom. I'm hard-ass scripture guy. But underneath, I think you know this, I'm all about the lovey-dovey. So don't tell lies about one another. I don't care how desperate you are to ruin someone. That shouldn't even need to be said, but, and don't, here's the thing that does need to be said. Do not pass on things about other people that you don't even know are true. There's a name for that. It's gossip. And the people who do it are busybodies. And the person who passed this along was a busybody, acting like a 14-year-old girl, giggling. Ooh, guess what happened? Ooh. Mm. See, one of the things is because I write about sex because I'm interested in it and because I've written books about it. People assume that I have this wanton, crazy sex life, and that, oh, Martin Zender, he writes about sex all the time. He lives down in Fort Lauderdale. I bet you he's, ooh, Martin Zender. If you are down here, and people have been down here, you will see what happens down here. You know how many strip clubs there are in this city? You know how many there are here? Do you know how many good-looking women that are barely dressed walk around here? And you know how many times I've afforded myself that? You know how many times I've gone into a strip club? I'm not against it. I'm for them. I think they're great. Zero. I'm a single guy living in Fort freaking Lauderdale. And I've never been to one of those establishments. Why? All things are allowed in me, but not all things are expedient. It's not the most maybe expedient thing I can do being in my position as a member of the body of Christ. I've never been into cheap sex. I write about sex. Ooh, Martin Zender writes about sex. Therefore, boom, 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 boom. Please. Yeah, the first person I had sex with was my wife when I was 22. That's the first person. And I went 25 years, and she was still the only person. So that's the kind of guy I am. Not a cheap sex guy. I'm just saying. So if you ever hear anything crazy about me, do me a favor. Call or write. Operators will be standing by. Press 1 if you heard some horrible sexual rumor about Martin Zender. Press 2 if you'd like to hear this message in Espanol. Or I guess that would have to be said in Espanol. Yes. Press 3 if you wish to hear a scriptural teaching on not calumniating brothers and sisters in the Lord. This call may be monitored for quality assurance purposes. There's a guy in another state. Won't mention the state. You know who you are, dude. There's a guy who thinks it's his duty that when you tell him something about another believer, it's like you just want to vent. And so, oh man, I'm really upset about so-and-so because he's this and he's that. And you're telling this to this guy personally, right? I mean, I found this out the hard way, and I've never said another thing to that. He feels it's his duty to take what you said and send it to the object of your wrath and disappointment. Yes, it's his duty to stir up strife among brethren. That's his thing. If you write him about somebody else, it's not safe. He will send it to the other person. I just want you to know, I think you should know, but this is what Martin Zender said about you, because it is my job to stir up strife among brethren. And here is another example of it, and I'm doing my duty. And then that person writes you and says, what the hell, man? What? I said, oh, God, where'd you hear that? He heard it from the guy. He heard it from the stirrer upper of troubler. He heard it from that guy. That happened to me twice. Then I finally learned. Yeah. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Didn't fool me the third time. So do I still love the guy? Of course. Friends, this life is too frickin' difficult and it's too frickin' long for us not to show grace to one another. I will happily admit when I've screwed up. I will happily admit that I'm wrong. I will even happily admit if you want to critique my lifestyle, bring it to me. Bring it to me privately. Talk to me and say, really shouldn't think you shouldn't drink whiskey on the show? And maybe I'll have to defend myself. Maybe I'll have to say, well, this is why I'm doing it, blah, blah, blah. Or, why do you have to have such a good-looking woman on your videos, like Maria? Okay, well, I'll put out a call for ugly women to be on my show. To make films with, to help to promote my website. Bring me all your ugly women, your hideous, deformed masses yearning to breathe free and to be in a Martin Zender video. I'll put you on. Come on. So, but, hey, if you want to talk to me about it, I'll listen to you. But don't disparage me, and don't do it publicly. I just tossed somebody off YouTube. Disabled her comments. Boom. You're out. It felt so good. I felt like an umpire in a baseball game when he throws a player out. It's like they wind up, you know. I'll show you what these umpires do. It's like they wind up and they're getting ready to throw this player out of the game. And they're like, you're out of here. I'm going to do it from this side. You're out of here. I did that. And it felt great. Why? Because she was getting personal. You can comment anything you want on my site. Comment. You can even insult me. Call me, you're a jerk. You're an ass. You're an idiot. That's okay. But when you start talking about, I mean, in a way that is impugning my character. But if you start like digging up things from my past that you think you know about, but you don't, and you start weaving tails and throwing barbs and being stupid and mean, you're out of here. You're out of here. Some people don't enable comments. In fact, our brother, this show's going long, I don't care. Our brother Nelson Howe, I have to talk about him real quick. I linked you to a video of his, and he believed he was a week or mere weeks, even days away from death. Well, he went to the hospital, something happened, they gave him something, I don't know, he's got a little reprieve. We don't know how long this reprieve's going to last. I pray it lasts until it's snatching away. Don't anybody scoff at that, please. I can't take it right now, okay? I don't have any drinks here right now, okay? So he's making more videos. And he has, I didn't realize this, that he's made a lot of videos. Nelson Howe is. And he's made other ones since the one he thought would be his last one. And so I'm linking you down here to Nelson Howe's YouTube channel. This guy is so great. He's just like a straight talker, looks you right in the eye and tells you how it is. And I just watched a video of his called Why I Disable YouTube Comments. And I'm pretty sure he put it up because, well, yeah. But anyway, he has some great points, and I agree with him, like, a lot. He says, you know, it just engenders arguments. And this, what I'm telling you is an example of it. It engenders arguments. People react emotionally. And then I end up acting me. I, Martin Zender, react emotionally in return. I say things I wish I hadn't said. I go back. I have to delete my own comments. And it's like, it's a freaking mess. And so I've considered that. And but he has done it. He goes, Nelson said, it's just about the word of God. It's not about people coming here and being impulsive and just weaving their web of tales, their fantasies, their fictions, their myths. And he says, I don't want that. I don't want it to be about me. I don't want it to be about the people watching. I just want it to be about the word of the Lord. So I keep it that way. I can see that. I'm tempted. But the thing with my site, don't worry, I'm going to keep the comments up because this is one of your only sources. It's a communal thing. It really is. You know, and I usually look at the comments because it really, if I see a certain objection and maybe there's one or two people saying the same thing, I can address it in the next show. That can be helpful. It can also be hurtful because I'm concentrating on the two people that are objecting to me and ignoring the 98% of the people who say, yeah, Zender, you're awesome. Keep going. You make sense for a living. Every day. Yeah. So that's the majority. And so I kind of sometimes probably derail the majority in order to answer this minority, these couple little gnats that are zzzz. Sometimes they have good points, sometimes they don't, but sometimes I take it personally, and so I make a show about it, and then crap like this happens with the Tony Smith thing, and so I apologize. Here I am, I'm apologizing. So I am going to keep my comments in there. You can say anything about my teaching. Don't get personal with me. Don't get personal with me, and for sure don't make up shit about me. Because if you do, you're out of here.